but give special attention right now as we hear the words of Jesus. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught. As the people stood on the shore, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then Jesus gives the explanation of this parable, beginning in verse 18. He says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." So we want to talk about this parable, and I recognize as you study this parable, there are a couple of theological roads that you could go down, such as predestination, perseverance of the saints, and so if you do some further study on that, you may run across some of those theological tenets. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to keep it simple, because I think that's what Jesus' intent was with the parables. Some people look at the parables and they try to find all kinds of meanings in every aspect of the parable. And other people just look at the parables and say, hey, what is Jesus trying to communicate? What's the main point of that parable? And I'm kind of on that side of the interpretive fence when it comes to the parables. What's the main point that Jesus is trying to communicate? I think there's a couple. I think one is that some people don't accept the message. There'll be some people who just won't respond to this message about the kingdom of God that you guys have responded to. If you look at the context, if you look back in the chapters and the verses that precede the telling of this parable, there are some people who are not receiving the word of God. I know great crowds have come at this point, but earlier there are some people who just don't understand Jesus. They don't get Jesus. They're not receiving his teaching. In fact, some people think that Jesus is evil and not good, and they're not loving it like the apostles are loving it. Have you ever had the experience where you've gone to see a movie and you just love the movie? I mean, you think it's one of the best movies that have ever been made, and so you start telling everyone else about that movie. And they go see the movie and they come back and they say, it was all right. Had that experience with Field of Dreams. I went to see Field of Dreams back in, I think it was 1988, 1989. Field of Dreams is the best movie that has ever been made in the history of movies. I mean, how can you deny that? And so I talked up that movie to my mother, and I just, it's not just about baseball, it's about life, it's about everything. And so I talked it up so much, and so my mother finally went to see the movie, and she said, it was all right. I said, what are you talking about? It was all right. Have you ever had that experience where you really love something, but someone else doesn't seem to get it. Maybe it's some food. Maybe it's those kiwis. I don't get kiwis. I don't know. Maybe it's a restaurant that you've been to and you talk it up and someone goes and it was all right. What do you mean it was all right? Or maybe it's a song. You got to hear this song. Or I don't know art as well, but I know there are some people who really appreciate art. And so, wow, look at this. And I'm thinking, yeah, what is it? Yeah, I just don't understand it. Just don't get it. And so sometimes we have that experience where we really love something, but other people just don't. And I think Jesus is preparing the apostles and maybe preparing us for that experience as well. Because the apostles get it. I mean, they've left everything to follow Jesus. And now there are these people who are supposed to be the religious people, the ones who are supposed to get it. And they're not really getting it. They're not getting into Jesus' talk about the kingdom of God. And so not everyone is going to receive this word like you have. In fact, even this crowd that is gathered together to hear Jesus, a lot of those people don't seem to stick around for a long time. And I think Jesus may be preparing his disciples for that reality of life. Is there are forces working against us. There's Satan. You know, there are some people whose hearts, they're just kind of hard. And so you can talk to them and you can lay out the seed of the kingdom of God, but they just don't understand it. And so soon enough, Satan comes by and he just, like a bird, will come and take that seed. And then there's persecution. Some people will receive that, but then it gets a little tough. It gets a little difficult, and they encounter some difficulties, and so they stop producing fruit, or they never really begin producing fruit. And then there's some people who will first say, man, this kingdom of God it's a great thing. I want it. I understand it. And then the lure of wealth and the worries of the world start crowding out this love for Jesus. And so all of these things prevent the seed from producing the harvest that it has the potential to produce. But Jesus always has some big reveal at the end of his parables, doesn't he? But he says there is one soil that is fertile. There is some good ground that is going to produce. And I believe that this is meant to be an encouraging parable. He's because there is this soil that will produce a great harvest, 20, 60, 100-fold. And so don't stop planting the seed. And I think one of the messages is that he's telling me, that he's telling us, that he's telling the apostles is we need to keep planting. We need to keep sowing the seed, even in spite of the fact that some people aren't going to get it. I have to admit, I get discouraged sometimes. I think, why doesn't everyone want to come hear me preach? Yeah? What's the problem? Why doesn't everyone want to come to church? Why doesn't everyone want to come to Park Avenue Church of Christ? It's such a beautiful place. It's such a wonderful place. Why doesn't everyone want to be here? Why doesn't everyone want to invest in the kingdom of God? And so I get discouraged. And so I read this parable, and Jesus is telling me, keep planting seeds. Keep planting seeds, because that is what we do. And there's a lot of seed planting going on right here. And I said, how beautiful it was to see these kids up here earlier encouraging us to plant seeds. So all of you teachers that go out and don't get to hear me preach, go out and teach class, whether it's on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever it is, you're planting seeds. I taught a class Wednesday night, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. Yeah, I was there in class. I taught the class. But how beautiful it was, though, to see those kids there Wednesday night planting seeds. I was at Barnabas Center the other week. That's our food ministry. We have another location on Myrick Avenue here that's been dropped in our lap by another congregation that gave us that property. And so I went over to Barnabas Center, and I just saw all this activity, people buzzing around, handing out food and packing boxes and bags and taking orders. And I'm thinking, they're planting seeds. That's what they're doing. They're planting seeds. The sewing ministry, every Tuesday morning, we have our staff meeting out in the atrium. And we're in one of the little coves out there. And as we're gathered there having our meeting, we see the sewing ladies come in, and they do so much work, so much work. They're planting seeds. The youth ministry, all the seeds that are being planted and everything that Tyler is working on and others, Christian Theater Workshop, all the retreats, the other things that are going on, just planting seeds, and all of those, all of you that are involved in that, the jacket breakfast that we have on Friday mornings, planting seeds, the children's homes, the things that we're collecting right now for the children's homes, planting seeds. We do that. We just plant seeds. These boxes right here, seeds, big seeds, but seeds we're planting. Whoever makes those videos, man, if there's an award for giving heart-wrenching videos, whoever makes those videos needs to get that award. But they're true stories. And, you know, as we've participated in this every year, and we take a few boxes, some years more than others, and got our kids involved in this when they were home. But, you know, I always wonder, who's going to open my box? And to be honest, I don't know who's going to open my box. It may fall on the path. It may fall on unfertile soil. I don't know, but I'm going to keep planting the seeds because there's fruitful soil out there. There's soil like the young man that we saw this morning. We plant seeds. I wonder who will get mine. It can be discouraging, can't it? You ever get discouraged? I get discouraged, but this encourages me to be a seed planter. And this reminds me also that the seed is good. The seed is never the problem. People, we've got an amazing message. We've got a message of eternal life. We've got a message of abundant life. We've got a message of peace and joy, all of these wonderful things. And so sometimes Satan will try to deceive us and silence us and keep us from planting seeds by telling us our message isn't really important. The seed isn't really good. The seed isn't working. Don't believe that. The seed is always good. In all of these different soils, it's never because the seed was bad. We have good news. We have a message that can transform lives. Didn't you love all those testimonials that we showed months back, person after person, and how their lives were changed by the message of Jesus Christ and how the kingdom of God transformed their lives? Yeah, some may not receive it. Some may not get it. But the message we have is good. You know, in between the telling of the parable and the explanation of the parable, Jesus gives a little insight into why he uses parables. And one of those is because there are some people who don't understand, and parables are really not going to help them at all. But there are some people who want to understand, and these parables are going to really lead them into a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God. But he quotes from Isaiah the prophet. And when you look at the ministry of Isaiah the prophet, didn't have a lot of good response. In fact, a lot of the prophets didn't have real good responses. They warned the people, if you don't turn back to God, destruction is coming. They didn't turn back to God. Destruction came. But it's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 55. This is what that prophet said, who met so much resistance as he tried to communicate the word of God to a hard-hearted people. He says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Listen to this. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it out. Be a seed planter. Continue planting seeds of the kingdom of heaven, because there is that soil out there. And when that seed finds that soil, the harvest is going to be rich. I see another message here as well. I think we need to see ourselves as people who sow the seed, but obviously I think we need to look at the kind of soil that we are as well. There's that path where Satan comes and just snatches that up. And honestly, I think you're past that first obstacle. I mean, if you come to church, I think you're past that. I think Satan has lost that battle. You're here in church every Sunday. You're involved. I pray in some type of individual Bible study or maybe discipleship making community, whatever it may be. So I think you may be past that, although Satan is still working on you, I know. But the next two types of soils, I think, are real dangers for us. The the soil of persecution. And of course, that was a reality for these original hearers, the apostles. Faced a lot of persecution. We read about that in the book of Acts. Early church history tells us traditions and stories about how many of these early believers faced persecution, and many even faced the threat and the reality of death. But this was a reality for the early Christians, and maybe not as much for us, but let's not ignore this. Let's not just pass over this. Those of you who are my age, around my age and older, we would say that we grew up in a Christian nation, and now it's pretty much acknowledged that this country is a post-Christian nation. So we've gone from a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation. Well, what comes next? An anti-Christian nation. The gospel is being ridiculed. It really is. Biblical teachings are being deemed archaic and in many cases even hateful. If you hold to the teachings of the kingdom of God, to the morality that the Bible teaches, you are going to be ridiculed. We are in an increasing minority as people who believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that truth is revealed in Scripture. That is a growing minority. Last Sunday was great. It was Back to Church Sunday. Appreciate everyone that was there. We got together at Forest Park outside of Munson Stadium and had a lot of fun, a lot of kids, bounce houses. And that was one way the churches just wanted to say, you know, we want you to know that the churches care about you. We want to celebrate with you. Kind of our way to invite people to the Cove to communicate to them the church's involvement and love. And then we met at Munson Stadium, had a great worship service, and I was pleased that one of our local news stations covered that. And there was a nice little story. Did you see that on Channel 12 about Back to Church Sunday? And so with many of their articles, it gets posted on Facebook. And so I was excited that it was posted on Facebook, but I was so discouraged at the comments. Hateful comments. Disparaging the church of God, disparaging the reason why we were gathered together, mocking the value of church. This is the world that we live in. Persecution is going to come your way. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. That'll try to prevent you from producing the fruit that God wants you to produce. So beware of that. The other soil, the worries of the world and the lure of wealth. Man, do I really have to say anything about this? But this has always been a hazard for believers. It has snuffed out many a productive life, spiritually productive life. We get caught up in the things of this world. Jesus addressed it in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about all this stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're so obsessed with what you wear and what you eat and all of these things. He says, don't worry about those things. Don't be obsessed with those things. But isn't it true? Don't we get so worried about our stuff? Don't we get so worried about material possessions? And don't we waste so much energy in worrying about stuff? I have to admit it. I lose sleep over stuff. I lose sleep over stuff. And I ask myself this week, how often do I lose sleep over lost souls? What am I really worried about in this world? I love comfort, and I spend a lot of money on myself, on stuff. You do the research, but the research that I see seems to indicate that Americans only give away 2-3% to charity. It means 98-97% of the resources that you have, the money that you have, you're just spending it on yourself. You're not planting seeds. So this is a real challenge to me, and I challenge you. What's your financial goal? Is it to give more and more away, to plant more and more seeds, or is it to keep more and more? Are you sowing or are you storing? Our obsession with wealth and comfort keeps us from being productive people. It really, really does. In our discipleship-making community, another place that seeds are being planted, we're looking at the Sayings of Jesus and John that begin with, "Very truly I say unto you, truly, truly, verily, verily I say to you." There's like 25 of them in the Gospel of John. And so tonight we're going to look at this one in John 12, 24 and 25. And again, Jesus uses an agricultural metaphor, analogy here. He says, "Very truly I tell you." So he prefaces this statement with, it's a double amen. So it's something, it seems as if Jesus, I'm bolding this, I'm highlighting this, I'm italicizing this. This is something that I really want you to hear. "Very truly I tell you," you can bank on this. "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And what Jesus is saying is, if we really want to be productive, then we give our lives away. We just don't keep it for ourselves. There are a lot of people in this world that live beautiful lives. And you look at them, wow, they're beautiful. They have this, they have that. They're just beautiful, beautiful people. But they leave nothing behind, nothing of spiritual importance. I don't know about you. I hope that you want to be a fruitful soil, don't you? Don't you want to use what God has given you in this life to make a spiritual difference in the lives of other people? Or do you just want to keep it all to yourself? You can do that, but you're not going to make any difference. You're not going to make any difference whatsoever. So he who has ears, hear what Jesus is saying, and he's telling me, Todd, congregation, keep planting seeds. Don't be discouraged. There is fruitful soil out there. Just keep planting those seeds. Keep doing what is well. I didn't talk to Lance earlier, but he's right on the target here as what I was talking about. We just need to continue to plant those seeds in the lives of other people. And then pray that you can produce fruit. That could come in the form of other believers, people who come to faith because of you. It could manifest itself in the good works that you are known for. It can manifest itself in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But here's the warning: keep Satan out of your life. Whenever you hear Satan say, "Don't plant those seeds," say, "Get away, you liar. You're the father of lies." Be strong in persecutions, and then seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry, invest in the kingdom of God. I pray that in my life, in your life, in the life of this church, in the life of the kingdom, that a harvest is produced 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. It can happen. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this story. It's so simple. And Father, we all understand the principle. We all know if we don't plant, we won't reap. Father, we want to be people who produce a spiritual harvest in our own lives. Father, heaven forbid we come to the end of our lives and we have just stored up for ourselves stuff. Father, you warned us in another story you told about a man who just was blessed and he built bigger and bigger barns for himself. And that man was condemned because he didn't store up in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who plant seed. Father, help us to see everything that we have, every interaction we have with people, every dollar that comes our way, every meeting we have, every call to service, every ministry that's put before us. Father, help us to see that as an opportunity to plant seeds. It's hard, it's exhausting, it's tiring, but Father, it's only through the planting of seed that a great harvest is done. Thank you for the seeds that are being planted here. Help us not to become discouraged, and help us have that vision of the soil that will produce a great, great harvest. Father, I pray for every heart here right now. Father, if there's a heart that is hard, I pray that you may send your rain and soften that heart before Satan comes and snatches up that seed. Father, I pray for those who are going through persecutions. Father, I know that day in and day out that there are people that are surrounded by people who don't believe, people who mock, who ridicule, maybe under their breath, whatever it may be. I pray for the next generation of believers. I pray for their strength as it appears that the trajectory of this country is going to be even more hostile to Christianity. I pray that you may help their roots to go deep, deep, deep into the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that when persecutions come their way, they may remain strong. Father, I pray for the heart that is overwhelmed by worry right now of the things of this world. Father, that probably includes 99% of us. Father, everything in this world will pass away. The homes that we live in, the cars that we drive, the clothes that we wear, the shoes that we wear. Father, everything is going to pass away. Why do we want it so much? Father, just give us a clear vision as to what is valuable and what is not valuable, what will last and what will not last. And so, Father, we repent for being so obsessed with stuff. And Father, we spend so much money on stuff when there's so much good work that needs to be done. There are so many boxes to fill. There are so many people who need to hear your word. There are so many good works that just need to be taken care of. So Father, forgive us for hoarding up things. Father, give us generous hearts. It may come down to this, that we don't believe that a sacrificial life is going to be a productive life. Father, help us to know that if we really want to make a difference, that if we really want to produce a harvest, we need to die. We need to give up our lives and give it over to you. Father, that's what I want. Help me believe it. Help everyone here believe it. Help everyone believe that a life that is totally surrendered to you and your kingdom is the life that will truly, truly flourish. Father, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful teachings. Help us to have ears that hear and hearts that respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our way to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words are power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plan for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Thank you, Todd, for bringing a lesson on the sower, which is to encourage us. And we're here to be encouraged. We want everyone to be able to go out and continue planting the seed. Amen. And so thank you for being here. Ask that you please continue to pray for those that are on our news and notes. Our prayers and thoughts go out to you, Paul, and the Wagner family and the Batts family. And that service for Terry is going to be this afternoon at 2, and everyone is invited to be here for that. Let's pray together, please. Father God, we come to you again, thanking you for a great day that you've made for us, that you created so that we could be a part of it. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this church, Park Avenue, this body of believers. We give you praise and glory for everyone, every individual, family. Pray that you'll continue to bless us, that your spirit will be with us as we continue to try to make a difference in the lives of people through the way we act and talk. And we just pray that you'll bless us with courage, that we can boldly present your word, that we can plant the seed, that others may hear and know you. So be with us, Lord, as we continue on. Be with us through the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we sing this final song in just a minute or two, our fifth and sixth graders will be up here, and they will be handing out these boxes. So take them home and fill them up and plant some seeds. That's what it's all about. We're thankful for this opportunity. Let's sing together.
My life's in you, my strength in you, my hope's in you, it's in you. My life's in you, my strength in you, my hope's in you, in you, it's in you. My life. My life and my strength and my hope in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. It's in you.
Amen. Have a great week.